So we will be reading from 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through to 12 initially, and Grace will read from the NLT. And today I've entitled, God's Provision Shall Be Seen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's provision shall be seen. Amen.
Yeah.
And so I'll hand over to Grace to just read through that portion of scripture, and then we'll look into it and work our way through to see in the provision of God.
Ahab's son Joram began to rule over Israel in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 12 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not to the same extent as his father and mother. He at least tore down the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had set up. Nevertheless, he continued in the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had committed, and led the people of Israel to commit. King Nisha of Moab was a sheep breeder. He used to pay the king of Israel an annual tribute of 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched from Samaria. On the way, he sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him? And Jehoshaphat replied, Why, of course. You and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses. Then Jehoshaphat asked, What route will we take? We will attack from the wilderness of Edom, Joram replied. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies travelled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals. What should we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the... Has the Lord brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us? But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, Is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Jehoshaphat said, Yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom went to consult with Elisha.
Amen. Praise God. So first of all, we find here that the king of Israel is in Samaria. And Joram there, he's the son of Ahab and the son of Jezebel. And obviously after the death of Ahab, he begins to take on the throne. In fact, before Ahab died, he was already beginning to take the throne on. But thankfully, he began to make some changes.
Yeah.
And he began to pull down some of the idol worship. And he's beginning, by the look of things, to begin to turn to the Lord, but sadly he doesn't make that complete turn. And, you know, people today need to make a complete turn to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
It cannot be a half-hearted way. It cannot be something, well, this will work for me, but I'm going to leave the rest of it. It has to be all 100% for Jesus. You know, reminds me just as I make that statement, when the young man came to Jesus and said, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You know,
yeah.
The young man had much to lose and he just couldn't let it go. So it was a half-hearted following. And so we need to follow him 100% all the way. And to do the work of the kingdom, to be about the work of the kingdom of God. And in doing so, we'll still see great and mighty things. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so... the king of Israel has really continued to a measure in his sins. And as we all know, one sin to God is no bigger than another. Sin is sin. And so we're in that situation where even Jesus said to us, if you look at a woman in with wrong thoughts, you've already gone and done it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a real walk of
coming into submission to the Word of God, coming under the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and coming under the presence and into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And these are the challenges that we face in our lives daily. Doubts, fears, unbelief, negativeness that keep coming against us, but we have to stand firm on the promises of the Word of God, knowing that God has never told a lie, knowing that God is always faithful to his promises, knowing that God will never change his word, but he will change situations and circumstances around us, and we have to rejoice in that. Now, in verse 4 of this chapter, Mesha, the king of Moab, rebels against the son of Ahab, and he's decided he wants to break this yoke of bondage. He's decided he's going to refuse to give him the yearly tribute of 100,000 sheep and 100,000 rams full of wool. He's not going to do this anymore. He's like, I've had enough. We're no longer going to do this. We're going to come from underneath the foot of the Israelite nation, under the from their domination. You know, in one sense, we need as well ourselves to say, we're coming from underneath the foot of the devil.
Amen.
We're coming out of bondage. We're coming into freedom. Mm-hmm. That's where God is calling us to. We're not of this world. We might live in this world, but the Bible says we're not of this world. We are a people with a destiny. We are a people that are born again. We are a people that are heavenites. Our own nation is the heavenite nation. Our own destiny is to be in the presence of God. Our own destiny is in heaven. So we are not a people of this earth. Thank God we have another destiny. We have a purpose in our lives, and we have a process that we're going through to come into the very presence of the living God. And so we find that as they prepare to go to war, and so the king of Israel gets in touch with the king of Judah, and they say, come on, come with me. We're going to do battle against the Moabites. Now, the Moabites were people who sacrificed humans, made many human sacrifices. And they were the sons from the daughters of Lot. They were of that descendancy. Mm-hmm. The two daughters of Lot, if you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, when they escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angel said to them, whatever you do when you're going, do not look back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a word to us. Don't look back.
Amen.
Keep looking forward. Keep following the Spirit. Keep following the Word of God. Keep following him and follow that purpose that God has in our lives to bring us into his very presence.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that Lot's wife looks back, and we find that, you know, that she's looking back at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah with a longing for it in one sense.
Sure.
And we know that she turned into a pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two daughters that were left ended up, Lot got drunk and they had a sexual relationship with him, and they both became pregnant. And one of the daughters had a son, and she called him Moab, and he's the father of the Moabites. And then the other daughter called her son Ben-Hammiah, meaning father, son of my father's people, and he was the father of the Amorites. So that's a little bit of history of that situation there, and where these people are coming from. And so there's a some sort of connection, because if you remember, Lot was the nephew of Abraham. He was related to him. So there's a relationship there, but they're always at war.
Mm-hmm.
And God said they would always be at war with one another. And so we find that God is, that as we look at these scriptures, as we begin to see what is going on, I should have, as I read through this, I chuckled and I thought to myself, they've not asked God what they should be doing. They set about this idea of going to battle against the Moabites, but they've not actually sought God in any way at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on this journey, and they've made a plan. They're going to go by a certain way, but it's a desert, and it's a seven-day journey, and they couldn't carry enough water for themselves and for their animals. And so it left them vulnerable. that they could die literally in the desert and become weakened in this arid place and not even be strong enough to enter into the battle and literally be prey to the Moabites through this type of journey that they were making. And so we find there that in verse 11, Jehoshaphat, I love Jehoshaphat, he was a great king, said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Now the interesting thing is that when the nation went into battle, you would always find that there would be prophets who went with the nation into battle. And they went with the nation into battle so that if there was an issue, they could seek the Lord. If things were not going their way, they would seek God and find the answer that would come from God. And this happened many times. So there was always a prophet somewhere within the many people that were going out to battle on behalf of the Lord at times and on their own behalf, where God had said, yeah, go and fight the battle, and God would give them instruction. And we read many times in the Old Testament how that as they were going into battle, the Lord would instruct them as to how and what to do.
Yeah.
You know, we ourselves today, as we are going into spiritual battle,
mm-hmm.
we need to know and have the instruction of the Holy Spirit so that we don't do it of ourselves, but we do it by the Spirit of God, that
yeah.
we move by the Spirit of God, that we speak the Word of God, and we see the presence and the power of God moving and changing people's lives.
Yeah.
And so it is important that we realize that it is, we've said this before, not by might, not by power, but it is by my Spirit,
Amen.
Says the Lord. And so we have to realize that we need ourselves even to be seeking God, seeking the presence of God, seeking God to speak into our lives and
Amen.
To direct us, one as individuals and as a church together, hearing the voice of God so that we see God moving in our lives and directing us, because we need to be directed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is no other way. There is no other way. And so Jehoshaphat sees this. He sees that they're in trouble. He sees that they're dying of thirst. And so he says, you know, seek a prophet. Is there not a prophet? And verse 11, and Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. I think that's an interesting statement. There's a lot of information in there. Because basically what they're doing is they're acknowledging Elisha that he'd been in the school of the prophet. He'd been with the prophet to the nations. They weren't acknowledging him as he was the real prophet. They were just saying, well, he was his servant, so maybe he knows something. He's got to have a little bit of information. He's got to know how to contact God. He's got to know how to hear God a bit. So they weren't saying that he was anything as prolific or as great as his father figure, Elijah, but they were saying, well, you know, he was there when Elijah needed something. He looked after all of his needs. He supported him. He poured water on his hands. In other words, he did everything for him. So, you know, maybe he can help us. And yet we know already that he's been involved in a few miracles. He's parted the waters and he's done various other things. But you see, his reputation is not out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the reputation of his master is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying, well, okay, maybe he can help us. Maybe he can hear the voice of God. And so when we look at this, we see in verse 12, and it says, and Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So this is Jehoshaphat saying, yeah, I've heard of this guy.
Yeah.
And that the word of God is in him. The word of God is with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that he hears from God. And as I said earlier, it just seems a little bit late in, well, let's ask God if we're on the right track. Yeah, it's like, surely, you know, the scripture tells us when a king plans to go to battle, he should weigh up the costs. And it seems like that they're not weighed up the cost, they've just been incensed by the fact
of the rebellion from the Moabites that he thought, well, I'm going to just deal with these people. He obviously felt he had that much power. You know, even the natural things can overpower people.
Yeah.
The situation, the circumstance of the terrain was overpowering the army. Even before they entered into battle, it wasn't fully thought through. And so they're now desperate for an instruction from God. They're desperate for something to be done for them in their lives. So they go and find Elisha. And in verse 13, it says, now Elisha said to the king of Israel, now he's speaking to Ahab's son, and he says, what have I to do with you? You know, he's seen how his master has had run-ins. He's heard the stories of his master's run-ins, of Elijah's run-ins with his father Ahab, and he's like, what do I want to do with you? And bear in mind that at this time, his mother, Jezebel, was still alive. Okay? Don't forget that. Jezebel was still alive. And Jezebel, the influence that she'd had over Ahab, was she was still having the same influence over her son to some degree. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, hey, Jezebel has not yet been dealt with fully. Mm-hmm. That is still yet to be done. And God will deal with the Jezebels and bring destruction on them, as we see later.
Amen.
And so, first of all, we see that Elisha says, I don't want any part of this. I'm not involved with you. I don't care about you because of the way you are. He says, go and call upon your pagan prophets. Go and call upon them and ask them, you know, the prophets of your mother and your father, and see what they've got to say. And, you know, he's like, I'm not interested in you because of what you've done. I know what you're like, is basically what he's saying. And he's standing against him. And so he's resisting him, and he's like, I don't want to tell you anything. And you know, you're just a waste of space because of the way you're going. And there he says, go to the prophets of your fathers, to the prophets of your mother. And the king of Israel said to him, no. So suddenly there's a change. He says, no, for the Lord has called these three things together to give them into the hands of the Moabites. And he's questioning him. Is this what the Lord's doing? And Elisha answers, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. Wow, what an insult. You know, this guy, he's the royalty. You know, he's to be respected. And Elisha said, I won't give you the time of day. I won't even look at you, let alone speak to you. But he says, because of Jehoshaphat, who's a king who's seeking to follow the teachings of God, who's seeking to follow Jehovah, the God of Israel, the real God of Israel, the God of Judah, and he's seeking to follow him. And so he's doing that in obedience, in a similar line to David. And so Elisha says, okay, because of him, you know, I will seek God. I'll ask God to reveal. So Elisha says to him in verse 15, bring now me a minstrel. Wow. And it came about when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Do you remember when Saul was tormented?
Yeah.
How David would play the harp, he would worship God. Mm. And in worshiping God, they said that a spirit, you know, the spirit that was in him was calm, the presence of a living God. And we have to realize that the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, will rule and reign over a person that is tormented until they have been set free, till they're brought to a place of being set free through Jesus Christ. And so, the thing that sort of stands out to me in this verse 15 in particular is that when he says, bring me a minstrel, one who will lead us into the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music is important, but it is not supreme.
Mm-hmm.
It is not supreme. the word is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
Thy word will be high and lifted up above mm-hmm. all things. It is the word of God that has to be exalted, not the music.
Mm-hmm.
Music is to, and we see here quite specifically with it, with the prophet Elisha, says, bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. He says, bring me a minstrel, that one who will lead us into the presence. It's not just any musician.
Yeah.
It is a musician who will lead us into the presence of God.
Amen.
Wow. This is what we're looking at. He's looking for somebody who will lead into the presence of God. Not just sing any song, not just do anything, but lead us into the presence of the living God. And so they bring this musician and he begins to worship and magnify the Lord. And as we worship and as we magnify the Lord in truth, and he will lead us into the presence of God. And as we're led into the presence of God, we shall find that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. We shall find direction from the presence of God speaking into our lives. But it is not just purely music. The music is purely and simply to lead us into the presence of a living God.
Amen.
And music is great for that. But don't lead us in and then take us out.
Yeah.
Lead us in and leave us in
mm-hmm.
the presence. I'll say that again. Lead us in and leave us in the presence of God. And then from that point, let's hear the word of God beginning to quicken us, begin to impart to us, beginning to pour into our lives. And so this musician comes and he begins to minister unto Elisha. And the presence of God, the Spirit of God comes upon Elisha in a strong way. And he brings a word. And in the same way, we need the Spirit of God to be upon the churches to bring the word.
Amen.
To bring the word of the Lord that will set captives free. To bring the word of the Lord that changes the direction of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And to change the direction of even what is going on in this world today. Because God is able.
Amen.
And you know, as we read through the rest of this chapter, we will see how God is able to do far more abundantly
yes.
all that we can ever ask or ever think or even believe for at times.
Amen.
And this is amazing, the miracle of God's provision
mm-hmm.
At this time in this word that Elisha brings to them and causes them to realize the presence and the power of God. If we will allow God to rule, if we will allow God to reign, we will see God move in power.
Mm-hmm.
But it is about us surrendering to Christ. It is about us surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, then we will see God moving in power.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, bring me that minstrel. And the minstrel begins to minister. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he begins to intercede and find a presence. And he begins to hear the Spirit of God speaking the words from the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And we need the Lord to speak to us. And so we need to press in the power of God. And we see God moving in power in our lives. And just praise him and worship him and see God ministering in a wonderful way. And so, as we move into that throne room, suddenly we will find that in our lives there will be words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of revelation. And this is because we've moved into the presence of God by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit begins to speak these things into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And today we need that in the churches. We don't need just light words, we need the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
We need the power and the presence of God to move. We need the Lord to do a work in the churches. We need the Lord to do a work in our lives. We need to be hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit so that the church begins to take up its role and stand in the position where God has called it to stand, and it will stand there on behalf of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will stand against all principalities and all powers that would seek to come against it and it would seek to rule and to reign over all things. And so let's go back to this 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. And we go now down to verse 16. And he, Elisha, said, "This is what the Lord says." Did you hear that? "This is what the Lord says." Praise God. We need to hear that voice.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear his words. And he says this dry valley will be filled with pools of water.
Amen.
You shall neither see wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. Now this valley is a dry, arid, dry riverbed. There's nothing there. It's a reddish soil. There's nothing there, it's totally dried up, there's no vegetation, there is nothing to say that it has any life in it. And yet the Lord comes to Elisha and he speaks into his heart and into his soul and into his spirit and says, tell them this. Tell them that I'm going to fill this place with water.
Amen.
They'll not see a wind, they'll not hear a wind, they'll not hear it, feel it, there'll be no effect from a wind. It won't even rain.
Oh,
how are you going to get water? You know, it has to be a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you have plenty for yourselves and for your cattle and other animals. But remember this, he says, this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of the Moabs. You will conquer the best of their towns. You will cut down everyone. You will cut down their good trees, stop up their springs, ruin all their good land with stone. The next day about that time, the morning sacrifice was offered. So you see, the Lord, he instructs them. In another part of translation, the Lord instructs them to dig ditches. Go and dig ditches. Are we digging ditches? Are we making preparation?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means, digging ditches. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we making those preparations for the Lord to begin to pour in the water?
Amen.
Are we making those preparations? The Lord is calling us to do that.
Yeah.
And so as we are called by the Lord to begin to make those preparations, begin to dig those ditches, begin to prepare the way of the Lord.
Amen.
Remember John the Baptist, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That was his mission, that was his call. Today we need to be preparing the way of the Lord for the Holy Spirit to come and move. First of all, in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need revival. Well, you can only revive something that was already alive, that had been previously living. The world today is dead in its trespasses and sins. But we who are alive in Christ need to be revived. We need to be regenerated. We need to be imparted a fresh anointing into our lives, that then we can breathe life into the nations that are so dead in their trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so, In verse, the Lord tells him in verse 16, he says, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. Dig some ditches.
Amen.
Make preparation for this water. But you're not going to see it by rain. You're not going to see it by the wind blowing something in. It's going to be a miracle.
Amen.
And so it says there verse 22, it says, and they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on it. You see, right now they rose early in the, sorry, verse 20, and it happened in the morning about the time of the offering of the sacrifice. You see, there's always a morning and an evening sacrifice with the children of Israel.
Yeah.
It should always be and in Judah, a morning and an evening sacrifice. And you and I, in the morning and the evening, we should make our personal sacrifice unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And praise Him and worship Him for who He is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we come together, we often bring an offering, which is classed as our sacrifice unto the Lord. It is part of us. The finance that we give into the church is part of a sacrifice, because we've worked for it. We've put our time and effort into this. We don't grow crops. We, as individuals, we don't have livestock that we bring before the Lord as sacrifice anymore, thankfully. I don't have to be the high priest that is offering up blood sacrifices before God. You know, it's like, thank the Lord, Jesus did it once and for all.
Amen.
And now there is no more blood sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that personal sacrifice that we bring out unto the Lord, and we minister unto the Lord. And so these people were at the morning sacrifice, and they were bringing that sacrifice unto the Lord. And it says, and it happened in the morning sacrifice.
Oh,
you know, when you bring your sacrifice, when you offer unto God, when you offer yourselves unto God, then God begins to move.
Mm-hmm.
He says it happened in the morning,
mm-hmm.
about the time of the offering of the sacrifice. As they were offering unto God, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
As they were, and another term that you could use in this that God is maybe trying to reveal to us is that as you are focusing on God.
Amen.
Did you hear that? As you are focusing on God, and as your focus is on Him, not on waiting for the miracle, but actually walking in faith, believing that you have already received the miracle,
amen.
And that you are trusting God in that miracle that is about to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God has already said it, so as far as that we're concerned, if God has already said it, it is already done.
Amen.
Now, we might not yet see it, but we have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we only receive it by faith.
Amen.
And we have to be a people of faith who are receiving the promises of God. And when God says it, God means it. God does not change His mind on you.
Amen.
As we walk in faith and we trust God, when God has said it, He will do it. And the promises of God are true. They are
yes.
yea and
yes.
amen.
Yes.
And so as we stand on those promises and we press in, and believe God, you know, believe God for your healing, believe God for your finances, trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
God is faithful, and He's never let His people down. And so it says at that morning sacrifice, whilst they were there sacrificing, whilst they were all focused on worshipping God.
Amen.
Even those that really didn't believe, Elisha had got them focusing on God the Deliverer. We will bring this sacrifice. We will worship the living God. Not the gods of idols, but the living God, the God of Elisha. And so they focused on this sacrifice. And he says, and whilst they were focused on that sacrifice, verse 20, and it happened in the morning, about the time of the offering, the sacrifice, behold, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I tell you.
Amen.
Focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on your situation. Fix your eyes upon Him.
Amen.
The author and finisher of our faith. And when our eyes are fixed on Him, then He will provide. He will bring the answer. He will cause us to prosper. He will cause us to live in His blessing.
Amen.
He says, now all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, and all who were able to put on armor and older were summoned and stood on the border. The nation has come against these three kings, and God is at work in this situation. The valley is filled, the ditches are filled with water. Remember, I said the soil was red. And it says there, and in verse 22, and they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone on the water, and the Moabites saw the water opposite them as red as blood. The color of the morning sunlight, and the color of the soil, and the water, the reflection, the that came out from it, it looked like there'd been a massacre.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like these three armies had fallen out with one another and they took about slaughtering one another. And the Moabites were deceived by this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be deceived by what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look through the eyes of the natural. Look through the eyes of faith. And as you look through the eyes of faith, you'll see the truth. And the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But these people were just looking and they saw something in the natural and they thought, there's blood. They have destroyed one another. And they thought, come on, verse 23, let's go down. This is blood of the kings. Have surely fought together and have slain one another. Now they're before, therefore, the Moabites to the spoil. And so they went down, not ready for battle. They went down there ready to take the spoils from the camps of the Israelites and the Judites and the Edomites. They thought, we've got everything with this. We don't have to fight. And as they went down, suddenly the Israelites arose and struck the Moabites. They took them all by surprise. And so that they fled before them and they went before into the land slaughtering the Moabites. God is at work. In our circumstances, in our situations. You know, whatever the enemy is that is standing against us, God has and will make provision. God will bring destruction Amen. Upon our enemies.
Yeah.
You know, we are called to destroy the works of the devil. We are called to be overcomers.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We're called to be overcomers. We're called to be the ones who set the captives free through Jesus Christ. We're to bring them into a connection with Jesus. We're to introduce them to the Christ, the living God. And you know, we are the ones that will see the water, the provision of life. Mm-hmm. You know, water is symbolic of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a refreshing. And the people today need a refreshing of God. They need a touch of the Holy Spirit. They need a touch of God on their lives to bring them to Christ. They need a move of God. We need a move of God in our nation. And as we see a move of God in our nation, let's believe that God will change people's lives. As you know, you and I have been prepared to assist, to clean, to teach, to encourage, to support, to pray for, to minister to people's lives. God is calling you. God mm-hmm. is calling you. You know, God's provision shall be seen. Don't focus on what your needs are. Focus on the fact that God has said he will provide. He's well able to. You know, even recently, let's consider the fact where David, it appeared that everything, our David, not David in the Bible, our David at church, where somebody had hacked into his accounts, and it appeared that they'd stolen his money. But what was his focus? His focus was not on his money. His focus was on his God.
Amen.
And in that focus of just saying, okay, God, you are well able. And focusing on God and saying, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to let this thing overtake me. You know, within hours, within 24 hours, God had returned back to him. Because that is what we prayed. We prayed that the devil had been caught and that you will return back what you have stolen and more. In the name of Jesus. And mm-hmm. so, you know, as we pray and believe God, God hears
Amen.
The prayers of his saints. God hears the prayers of the faithful saints and God answers. And we today, we saw that with David, that God's provision was made and the finances were returned within less than 24 hours. God is a God that moves
Amen.
Miraculously. And we have to believe God's provision shall be seen. You know, the building that we're in, God's provision shall be seen.
Amen.
And somebody already has been to see us at the church yesterday and said they're going to help us with the kitchen. God's provision is going to be made
mm-hmm.
seen in the place. Hallelujah. God is well able to do more than we can ever ask, think, or believe.
Amen.
And so, we don't understand how he does it at times. We don't understand why he does it at times, neither. But he does, because Amen. God has a plan. And God, you know, God is not just working on a small plan. God has this massive eternal plan that he's working on in our lives. And he's moving us forward as a mighty army.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to arise
and let our faith arise, and let our enemies be scattered.
Mm-hmm.
These are the words of God. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord. We have to stay faithful. We have to stay committed
mm-hmm.
to this word of God.
Amen.
And in being committed to this word in God in such a wonderful way, we shall see the power of God
Amen.
Changing people's lives. We shall see the power of God changing even our own lives.
Amen.
You know, we're in the process of change. God is still at work in us. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God the work's not finished. Because
mm-hmm.
if it has, well, some of us are in a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not yet perfect, but we're on the journey of perfection in Christ Jesus. And so God is at work
mm-hmm.
in each and every one of us. And so, you know, when you rise in the morning, make that sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. Paul says, take up your cross daily.
Mm-hmm.
Crucify the flesh. How many times? Daily. You know,
mm-hmm.
not just once. Just keep that, keep the old man in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Keep him down. You know, the devil wants to cause him to rise up and to bring him, to bring the old man up, to bring, he wants to try and resurrect him. Well, there's only one resurrection, that's through
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Keep the old man dead. Crucify
mm-hmm.
him. Lay him. Make sure he never gets up. Don't give him any power. Don't give him any authority in or over your life. Don't give him a place where he can manipulate you. Don't give him a loophole where he can grab hold of you and drag you out.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to worship the Lord in the morning. Worship the Lord through the day. Just spend that little bit of time and you shall see the provision of God being made manifest in your life through Jesus Christ. And so God here is making this water. I just find this incredible. There's no rain. There's no flash flood. There's no wind, there's nothing, but suddenly this barren desert place,
Amen.
These ditches that they've dug, they have to, you see, God wants you involved with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
God wants you involved
yeah.
with what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to be part of his partnership.
Amen.
Sons and daughters of the living God, he wants you to be involved with him. He wants you to find and see the presence and the power of God that can flow through our lives. And so we find there that those ditches are filled. There's an abundance of water. There's an abundance of rain. There's an abundance coming. There's an abundance of a harvest of souls. The fields are white unto harvest.
Yeah.
Laborers are few. But he's the Lord of the harvest. And let us just call upon him. Let us seek his face.
Mm.
Let us trust him. Let us believe him. And let us worship him in spirit, soul and body. And magnify his name. Let us put him first. And in doing so, God's provision shall be seen. And whatever we have need of, he shall provide. When we need to strength to fight the battle, he'll provide the strength.
Mm.
When we're thirsty, he'll provide the water that we need. He'll provide the sustenance that we need to fight this battle through. God is far able to do more than we can ever ask, think, or believe. And so we worship the living God.
Amen.
And as we focus, and it's this thing is about, first of all, focusing upon him, the author
Amen.
And the finisher of our faith. It's him.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
It's him first and only him. It's him who we magnify. It's him who we glorify. It's him who we give praise to. It's him who we honor. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the word says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto him. And I know that speaks of Christ being crucified, but in the same way, if we today lift up Christ, we show Christ in our lives to other people, and we declare who he is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Glory, the Magnifier, the Soul, the one who saved our souls and set captives free, the one who heals and brings deliverance to lives, he's mm-hmm. the one. And as we trust in him, we shall see him ruling and reigning. And we see in this chapter of Kings, we see that God
was ruling and reigning over that situation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And all it needed was to worship God, to seek the face of God, and ask him for an answer.
Mm.
And God brought the answer and brought the provision. Not only does he bring an answer, but with the answer he brings the provision to fulfill the answer to our very needs. Hallelujah. This is a God that we serve. This is a mighty God. This is our God. This is my Jesus. And he is well able to do far more, as I said, more than we can ever ask, think, or even believe. He is a wonderful Saviour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we read on here, and this is, read down to sort of the last part of that chapter there. We'll read from verse 25, and it says, "Thus they destroyed the cities, and each one threw a stone on every piece of good land and filled it. So they stopped up all the springs of water, they felled all the good trees, until Kihareth only was left, only there left its stones. However, the slingers went about it and struck it. When the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Eden, but he could not. It says, then he took his oldest son." This is the son who's going to rule next in his place. "And he offered him as a burnt offering on the walls." I just think, wow, the desperation of demonic forces gets people to offer up human life. And even today, human lives are being sacrificed.
Yeah.
Even in Uganda, I read just in the last day or so that there are still in Uganda human sacrifices being made.
Mm.
People are sacrificing their children unto false gods and false teachings.
Mm.
Today we have mass abortions of children being sacrificed to Molech.
Yeah.
And people don't realize they're offering their child as a sacrifice to an evil spirit that wants to rule and reign over men and women. And so abortions are sacrificial offerings to Molech. And so we, as the children of God, have to rise up. And you know, we read here where it says that this king offered his eldest son as a sacrifice, burnt him alive basically on an altar. What a thing to do. And it says there that the when the people of Israel saw it, a great wrath, you know, came against Israel, because the people of Moab were incensed, I suppose, as well. And there's this such a rising up of anger that it seemed that they were able either to manage to drive Israel away, or that it was the fact that Israel themselves saw the audacious treatment, the horrific sacrifice of this king's eldest son. And they just thought, and they just left. Because it turned their stomachs, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't give us the information on that side. But, you know, things like this, to a degree, are still going on today.
Mm.
The world needs Jesus. And you are the answer to this world.
Yeah.
God's provision shall be seen. And you are part of God's provision to this world.
Amen.
You are part of God's provision to your neighborhood. You are part of God's provision. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, have to stand up, because we are the provision for the world.
Amen.
And God will reveal through his people, through his prophetic, through his children of God, he will reveal himself to the world, and you will be the provision. The world is seeking an answer. The world is seeking a way out. The world is seeking Jesus, and yet it doesn't recognize it yet. But today, through you and I, the provision is already available, because we've asked Christ into our lives. We've given our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And in doing so, we are now made available. We are being made ready. We're the carriers of the new good news. You know, when the angels came to the shepherds, they said, "Behold, we bring you good tidings of great joy." Hallelujah.
Mm.
This day, a Savior is born.
Praise God.
In Bethlehem. And he, you know, being the Prince of Peace, you know, and these angels said, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all humanity."
Mm.
Goodwill. Hallelujah. God's provision shall be seen. What God has started, God intends to finish.
He will.
Let's be part of it. Let's press in. Let our faith arise. Let the enemies of our souls be scattered. And let us stand in faith. Let us take upon the armor of God. And let us stand there in that anointed power. Let us stand there in the truth of the word. We don't always understand it, but we still have to believe it. And to this day, there is no answer how this water appeared. But the word says, God said it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And whilst they were worshipping God, whilst their focus was on a worship rather than on the circumstances,
Amen.
On the situation,
Amen.
And panicking, they worshipped God. And in that worship, God provided. And today is the same yesterday, today and forever. And so don't focus on a situation that is bringing panic. Focus on the God who is able to deliver. Focus on a God who is able to provide. Focus on a God who is able to set captives free. Focus on a God who has brought new life into your life and to my life. Focus on a God whose promises are true. Focus on a Jesus who loves us and cares for us and gave his life for us. Focus on him, and in focusing on him,
Amen.
You take the focus off yourself and you just enter into a new dimension in God, and you find the provision of God shall be seen in your life.
Yeah.
For he is able to do, as I said again, far more than we ever can ask, think or believe. And you know, Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord." Hallelujah.
Mm.
He is well able.
Mm.
And you know, I've read the end of the book.
Mm.
We're on the winning side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We win. Praise God.
Mm.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Thank you.